This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
We are gathered here today for the story of St. John Baptist de la Salle. And now, let the voices here assembled speak.
Speak of him?
Of St. John Baptist de la Salle, if you remember him.
How could I help but remember him? He was my son, my firstborn.
Then speak, please. Tell us of him.
Oh, there are so many little things, so many wonderful things. From the moment he was born...
That was 3 centuries ago.
I knew that of all our children, he was destined to live a great life.
The religious life?
I think I always knew and often prayed that that would be the life of his choice. But I kept silent because of his father, who had dreamed for so long that his oldest son would follow in his path, as he had followed the path of his own father.
John knew.
It had never been fully discussed, but it was understood. John was to become a master of law.
And then?
He came home to us from Paris, where he had become famous for his brilliance as a student at college. I hardly knew him. He had grown so. And suddenly... he seemed so wise. John had become a man. He had a man's mind. But that mind was so troubled. I knew that the moment I saw him. I could feel it. I could feel
it. Well, let me look at you, son. Let me see you.
I'm afraid there's not very much to see.
All I've wanted to see for a long, long time. It's good to have you back, son. Isn't it, my dear?
Oh, we've missed you.
No more than I've missed you, I'm sure. There were times when I thought I had to see you, to talk to you. Lately, since I...
Yes?
Since there's been so much to talk about.
Oh, well, we will talk, son, about anything you like and as much as you like now that you're home.
Master?
No, yes, what is it, Pierre?
The gentlemen of the council.
Oh, they've arrived, eh? Well, tell them I... Tell them I'll be right with them.
Yes, Master.
I'm sorry, John. This is one day I'd hope to keep to ourselves. But unfortunately, council meetings must be attended. That's something you'll find out when you begin to practice law. Now, if you'll forgive me...
Certainly, Father.
I'll try not to be too long. In the meantime, you can talk to your mother.
Yes, Father. Mother, he's... Father's just the same as ever, isn't he?
Yes, John, but you've changed.
Huh? Well, I've grown and...
Oh, it's more than that, John. More than a physical change. What is it?
Something stronger than I. Stronger than Father, than you, than all the world.
Then it must be of heaven.
It is.
And yet you're disturbed.
Yes, because of Father. His plans for me. He... Oh, I've no interest in becoming a lawyer.
You're trying to tell me that you wish to become a priest.
Yes. You object, Mother?
Oh, my son, you must be sure. John, you must be very sure.
I am. Believe me, Mother, I am. I've thought of nothing else.
Have you thought of the sacrifices, the privations, the loneliness?
Often, very often. But that was the life our Lord led. And the blessings, Mother. And there's so very much work to do.
Shall my voice be heard? Shall I also speak?
You were his father. He disappointed you.
It was better John's way. He might have disappointed God, and I would never have forgiven myself.
Then you permitted him to study for the priesthood.
I, too, had learned that God's will be done.
He returned to Paris
and entered the seminary. I didn't see him until several months later, until his mother lay dying. I had sent him word of her illness. I had prayed he would arrive in time. And God was good.
How pale she looks. How thin and wasted. And yet, how beautiful.
You see it too. That strange, still beauty.
It's the beauty of her soul, Father. The eternal beauty of the soul.
The eternal beauty of the soul. But the flesh must die.
Only for a time, Father. She'll live forever in the kingdom of heaven. Would you deny her that?
You see these things as a priest sees them.
As her son, I see them.
John.
Through tears.
John.
Mother.
I heard your voice.
Mother.
It is you, John. You did come. Oh, I'm so glad. But you're crying, John. Why?
I always cried, Mother. Remember? Whenever you were ill?
I'm not ill, John. The pain is gone. Oh, it seems almost as though the pain never existed. Do you suppose I could have dreamed it? That's it. It must.
Mother.
So you mustn't cry, John. It was just a dream.
Yes, I knew John. I grew up with him in Reims, and I grieve with him at his mother's grave. The others, his brothers and sisters, wept openly, but not John. He stood there dry-eyed, but I knew there were tears of blood in his heart. He went away then, after it was over.
He went back to Paris.
Yes. And I think his grief drove him to study as he had never studied before. And then, only a few months later, he was recalled to Reims. Another tragedy.
His father's death?
Yes. And once again I stood with him at the graveside. I marveled, too, at his resignation to the will of God. The will which now seemed so clear to me. It was obvious that God had not intended him to be a priest. And then, a few days later, I saw him again.
These have been difficult days, my friend. I can't hope to repay you.
It has been my privilege. There's nothing to repay.
All that's happened seems almost unreal.
It does. Even to me.
Well, I shall return to Paris.
Well, how can you, John? Ever?
I must, if I'm to become a priest.
But that's just it. You can't become a priest.
Why not?
The children, your brothers and sisters, what of them?
I'll see that they're well taken care of.
But even so, John...
You think I'm being willful?
Well, I must confess, I... Yes, I will say it. The priesthood is not for you, John. God has shown you. He's given you a responsibility here in Rance. The care of your brothers and sisters, He's put these obstacles in your way.
To test the strength of my purpose. And only by overcoming them can I prove that I'm worthy of the priesthood.
You really believe that?
I do.
And there's nothing further I can say.
You're disappointed in me, aren't you? You still believe I'm being willful.
It doesn't matter.
It does to me. That's why I want you to know that I've discussed this with another. A great doctor of theology. Nicolas Rolin.
Rolin?
You've heard of him?
Who in all of France has not?
Well, would you accept his judgment?
Naturally.
Then accept mine also.
He agrees?
That I must go on. That I must prove myself strong enough to go on. That God wills it.
Yes, I advised him to go on.
Then you must be...
Rolin. Father Nicolas Rolin.
And you were his teacher?
One of his teachers.
And his friend and advisor as well?
So he called me, and so I was happy to be. I had faith in him, great faith. I knew he would go far. But when the time came, years passed before that time did come, years during which John Baptist de La Salle first distinguished himself as a student, then as a priest.
So he did become a priest?
Yes, he was ordained on Easter Sunday in the year of our Lord, 1678. I watched him through the years that followed, watched him increase in spiritual stature. I had to watch him. I had to be sure. My time was coming, I knew. I was to leave this world soon. Then one day I sent for him. He came to me in the garden overlooking the playground. That was important. I wanted him to see the playground and the children playing in it. He didn't know I saw him, but he stopped to watch them. He smiled, and I was sure...
So here you are, Father Nicolas. Sunning yourself, huh?
Yes, sunning myself and watching the children as usual.
Hmm? Yes, the children.
I noticed you stopped to watch them, too.
Yes, I couldn't help it. He seems so happy.
You're wondering, I suppose, why I sent for you?
Well, I've been worried. I heard you were ill.
And you thought I was dying.
Not dying, Father. But the urgency of your message...
I had great need of you. I felt that it was a matter of immediate importance. That tomorrow wouldn't do. That tomorrow might be too late. And so it may be, John.
Father Nicholas.
Look at me. See how old I am, how wrinkled and worn... And how deathly ill.
You are ill, Father.
Another day, perhaps a week, a month. I haven't long.
Father.
Please, John. No concern, no pity. I'm well prepared for death. I've lived a long, full life in God's service. And it's time I go. When I do go, I want to leave my work in good hands.
Your school?
My children. That's why I sent for you, John. I want this to be your school. I want them to be your children.
But, Father Nicholas...
You can't refuse, John.
I must.
I won't let you.
Father, please.
It's a good work, John, a great work. And holy.
I know, but...
You smiled at these children, there in the playground beside my school. It pleases you to know that they are happy.
Yes, of course,
there
but,
are others, John. Thousands upon thousands. Unhappy. Unschooled. Uncared for. Won't you help them?
But how, Father? What shall I do?
Can't you see that I've barely brushed the surface of a truly wonderful work? Can't you see schools like mine, scores and tens of scores of them, all over the world, for the children of Christ's poor? Or can you see these children denied education, as most of them are now, because they are poor? Because they have not the means to pay?
It isn't right.
It is not holy. Knowledge, truth, belongs to all who truly seek it. And true knowledge leads to virtue.
Yes. Yes, I know.
And you will help?
And I will help, as God will help me.
May I speak now?
Who are you?
A nameless one, who had known him throughout his student days, but who never really knew him until after the passing of Father Nicolas Roland.
Why do you say that? Did the passing of Roland so change him?
He was devout before, but he was saintly thereafter. It was as though Roland's great spirit had become fused with his own. For never have I seen a man so filled with zeal. He came to me as he had gone to others.
I find I cannot fulfill the promise I made to Father Nicolas Roland. The terms are too exacting. I should have to possess the wealth of 100 of the richest men in all the world, the wisdom of the wisest, the strength of the strongest. I need help.
I'll help in any way I can.
Will you? Then on a date I shall set within the week. Come to the great hall of the university, and come prepared, I beg you, to be shocked at my audacity.
I was only one, and there were so many, all friends of his who had studied with him under the great Roland. We were curious, of course, for we had no inkling of what awaited us. Finally, he came.
My friends, I cannot hope to express my gratitude to you for having attended this meeting in answer to my call. You are indeed good friends. I've already told you, individually, of a certain promise I made to Father Nicolas Roland, whose passing we shall never cease to mourn. But perhaps because you did love him, as I did, you will say that I have misrepresented the facts. Perhaps when all is said and done, you will say that I made no promise at all, but that instead he left me a great legacy, the privilege of carrying on the work he had begun. You know that work, I'm sure, the founding of schools for the poor. You know that it is glorious work, and you must know how near and dear it was to his great heart. But you must also know that it is exacting and well beyond my poor capabilities to carry on alone. And so, my friends, I now offer you a part in this legacy. Will you help me? Will you offer me your support? All you can spare of wealth and time and prayer? Will you band together with me in a society of Christian brothers? And will you go with me and teach the poor of all nations?
I was one of those who followed, one of the first of the Christian brothers.
Then the society was formed.
Yes, it was approved by His Holiness the Pope. Schools were built. We built them ourselves at first. Some of the materials we bought, others we begged. But the schools were built. And each was a monument to the unflagging energy of Father John Baptist de La Salle. His was the driving force, the eloquent voice that eventually won the support of the rich. His the faith that strengthened ours. Nothing could have been done without him. I told him so once.
Nothing? Nothing, Brother Anthony? Nothing at all?
Nothing without you, Father.
Not even this? Pierre?
Pierre?
Yes, Father?
Come here a moment.
Yes, Father?
Is that the boy?
Yes, he was the one the doctor despaired of. He came back to us this morning. Well, Pierre, you're looking fine.
Thank you, Father.
No more pain?
No, Father.
Suppose you could tell Brother Anthony what you told me this morning?
If you want me to, Father.
Please.
Well, it was when I...
When you were so ill?
Yes. I thought I was dying. The doctor said I was. I heard him. I was scared, too. But then I remember what you said, Brother Anthony.
I said?
A long time ago. Just after I came here to school.
And what was it, Pierre?
It was just that... Well, it was something like... Put your trust in God and he'll take care of things.
That's it. Put your trust in God and he'll take care of things. That's where I've put my trust. And he's taking care of things, Brother Anthony. Not I.
I see.
I could do nothing without him.
If there was a Judas in his life, it was I.
You betrayed him?
I spoke against him.
How? When?
It was during the great famine that swept France like a whirlwind of destruction. Rich and poor alike were starving and dying. All support of the Christian brothers was withdrawn. I spoke against him.
Why? Why do you speak against me?
Because it's madness to go on like this. Because we can't go on. And still you persist.
Yes, I persist. And I will persist. We will go on.
You hear? He admits it. We will go on. How, Father John Baptist de La Salle? How will we go on without funds?
So you've heard the rumor?
Yes.
Well, let me confirm it.
It's true.
It's true. It's true we are without funds. We can no longer continue if we allow ourselves to admit defeat. Wait. Wait, please. Please let me finish, my friends. It has been said that while the poor are starving, we are trying to cram education down their unwilling throats. Well, my brothers, I would to God that I could give them food. Give food to all those who are without it. We have, in fact, taken money from our school treasury and given it to the needy. But that is not enough.
Well, what more can we do?
We can continue to teach. For the food of knowledge is still ours to offer.
And how can we teach when our stomachs are empty? It's very well for you to talk. You're rich, independently rich. But we're not. We must depend upon donations for support.
That's true, Father. You are rich. You cannot deny that.
I can deny it. This very day I have sold all my worldly goods and given the proceeds to the poor. I stand as one of you, penniless. And yet I will not betray the trust of Father Nicolas Roland. I shall continue to teach the poor as one of the poor. Until I have drawn my last breath. Now, which of you will follow my example? Come, tell me, is there not a single one among you with courage enough, with faith enough, to look to God for support?
I will.
And I, Father.
My Christian brothers.
I was with him a great deal toward the end. He was well past 70 and very tired. At his bidding, another had been elected to serve as superior general of the society. But his was still the spirit which inspired and still inspires the teachings of the Christian brothers. I was one of them.
In my lifetime, I saw his schools reach beyond many horizons. He, too, had seen, and he was satisfied.
And at peace. For I'm sure that somewhere in the realm of heaven, Nicolas Roland is nodding his head and smiling. It was his ambition, his dream.
And through your work, it has become reality.
Oh, I did but very little. I might have done much more. I'm happy, though, to have had a part in it. For it is truly a great and holy work. It will go on, too, through the ages. Long, long after I'm gone. For the poor you have always with you. Be kind to them, for my sake. For inasmuch as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me.